I got this. I'm good. One second. It's okay, inshallah. My man Malik hooked me up. He put some barakah in it, yo. I shouldn't have looked. I shouldn't have looked. I shouldn't have looked. It's perfect, perfect. Sir? Okay, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which we increase our love for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which we increase our love and muhabba for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire our hearts in this blessed month of Rabiul Awwal, in this blessed gathering with these blessed souls. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins by the blessing of this gathering, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll begin, inshallah ta'ala. We're in this class of In His Footsteps. We're going through the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that intention of increasing our love and muhabba for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week, we talked about Khalid bin Walid because you can't understand the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama haqqahu, as you should truly understand him, without understanding the people that Allah selected to be around him. Those were extremely important people, and they played such a critical role in his life, and in every aspect, we learned so much from them. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be looking at one major epic moment in the seerah, which happened in the 8th year of Hijrah. I mean, brothers and sisters, we're getting very close to the end of the seerah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting older. And it's the 8th year of the mission in Medina. So the 8th year of Hijrah. We already said that we had like a truce and a peace with the people of Quraysh. But that didn't mean like outside of Quraysh that truce existed as well. There were still other people that just had a lot of animosity to the growing of Islam. And one of those was the Byzantine Empire. And we spoke about them 3 halakas ago because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to write letters. He started to write letters in order to spread this mission internationally. Like he wanted this message to get to everyone. So he wrote these letters to Abyssinia, to the Byzantium Empire, to all over. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a man by the name of Harith bin Umair. Harith bin Umair, he sent him as a messenger. And this letter was supposed to go up to the leader of the Byzantium Empire, but there was a lower Arab king whose name was Shurahbil, who this letter got to him. And when the messenger got to him, he said to this man, he said, "I think you're from Muhammad, aren't you?" And Hadis, he said, "Yes, of course I'm from Muhammad. I've been sent." So right in the moment, Shurahbil, this leader, this governor, you could say, he has him tied up and he executes the messenger of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that this international crime, this was a war crime, this was injustice, you didn't do this. The understanding and ethics of the world were that messengers were never killed. And so the Prophet immediately, he said, we can't allow injustice to just go on. As believers, we stand up to injustice. That's what we do. That's what it means to be a Muslim. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ As the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ Stand up for justice. And so when this messenger was killed, not only did he kill a Muslim, but he broke the international understanding of what was right. And that's what the messengers were sent for, was to correct what was wrong. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathered as many as he could in the moment. And there were 3,000 sahaba that he gathered in the moment. It's a very beautiful, beautiful entire story. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he orders everyone to gather. He gets about 300 men ready to fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did something different at the beginning of this battle. At the beginning of the battle, he assigned the leader. He always did that. There has to be a leader. There has to be an emir on every journey. So he assigns Zayd ibn Haritha. Now, we have to understand these people, who they are and what they meant to him, in order to truly appreciate the story. Zayd ibn Haritha was known as Zayd ibn Muhammad for the longest time. He was called this, they called him Hibbu Rasulillah, Hibbu Nabi. His nickname was Beloved of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the boy who got captured as a kid, and his uncle and dad came to bring him back. And he said, "Dad, Unc, I'm good. I love this man right here." And they said, "You would rather be a slave than free?" He's like, "I'd rather be a slave to this man than free anywhere else." This is the one who was with him in Ta'if. Ta'if, the hardest day of the Prophet's life. Who was there shielding him? Zayd bin Harith, radiallahu ta'ala an. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm going to lower it so my voice lasts, inshallah. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Zayd is in charge. Zayd is in charge. But then he did something different. He said, "In qutila Zaydun fa Ja'far." He says, if Zayd is killed, then Ja'far should take his place. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had never did that before. He just chose the first leader and left it at that. So everyone was kind of like, wow, this is different. He says, فَإِن قُتِلَ Ja'far. Now, before I go forward, who is Ja'far? Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala is the older brother of Ali. The older brother of Ali, 10 years older than Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Ja'far is like a brother to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him or to him, أَشْبَحْتَ خُلُقِي وَخَلْقِي. He's like, you resemble me most in how you look and your akhlaq too. You resemble me most in how you look and your akhlaq as well. Ja'far radiallahu an, but sometimes the people we love, Allah has set that relationship to really thrive is in akhirah. Because when Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an accepted Islam, back in the Meccan days, he migrated to Abyssinia. He was the one that recited in front of Najashi. So for the longest, for how long? 10 years, 12 years, the Prophet hasn't seen him. In the seventh year, I'm talking 1 year prior to where we're at right now in the seerah, Ja'far came back. Because when the Prophet wrote those letters, he said, oh, send my people back too. I need to see them. I haven't seen them in so long. And Ja'far returned. But now, it's only a few months later, and the Prophet has made him the second in command of this army. Then the Prophet, he says, فَإِن قُتِلَ Ja'far. If Ja'far is killed, for Abdullah bin Rawaha, then Abdullah bin Rawaha, who is he? Abdullah bin Rawaha was from Medina. He was from the tribe of Khazraj. He was one of the first people that met the Prophet in the Meccan days and said, we want you to come and join us in Medina. He was a poet. He was brave. He was strong. There's narrations that one Sahabi says it was a battle, and I just kept seeing this red turban going from side to side. And I was like, who is this dude causing havoc for the Muslims? They said, that's Abdullah bin Rawaha. That's who he was. But he was an eloquent poet, and he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam deeply, deeply, deeply. I love him because he was so deep. He's like one of those people that you would like just sit with just for like deep conversation. They say that sometimes he used to meet a Muslim brother, إِذَا لَقِيَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. When he would meet another Muslim brother, he would say, تَعَالْ نُؤْمِن بِرَبِّنَا سَاعَةً. This is ajeeb. He would see his brother and he would say, تَعَالْ, come here, نُؤْمِن بِرَبِّنَا سَاعَةً. Let's believe in Allah for a little bit. Well, hold on. What does this mean? What this means is, let's sit together and just talk about Allah. So he would say, نُؤْمِن بِرَبِّنَا سَاعَةً. Yo, come sit down. Now he's a poet. He's an amazing warrior. But when you sat down with him, what does he want to talk about? Allah. And the way he would say it is like, نُؤْمِن بِرَبِّنَا. Let's believe in Allah for a little bit. How many of us need people that would just be like, yo, let's just sit down and believe for a minute. Just believe, just talk about Allah. Just talk about the blessings of Allah. I was talking to one of the shabab, I think it was Haytham, I can't remember. He was like, man, I'm just journaling right now every night all the blessings I have. Just journaling every night all the blessings that I have. So this is the type of person that Abdullah bin Rawaha was. So there was a Jewish rabbi, because we're in Medina. There was a Jewish rabbi that was standing right there in the gathering. And this Jewish rabbi, he looks at everyone and he says, Ya Abu Qasim. That was the Prophet ﷺ's, you know, name, Abu Qasim. He said, Ya Abu Qasim, in kunta nabiyan, if you are a true prophet, fasammayta man sammayta qalilan aw kathiran usiba jami'an. He says, if you're a prophet, everyone whose name you just said will die for sure. He says, no prophet from Bani Israel ever named the people. Like, if this guy goes, then this guy. If this guy goes, then this guy. He said, every prophet that did that before, those people died. The prophet just ignored him. He didn't listen to him. He's just some Jewish dude talking, like, from his books. Like, all right, whatever, bro. What do you want me to say? Like, okay, cool. So then this Jewish rabbi, his name was Nu'man. This Jewish rabbi, he goes up to Zayd bin Haritha. And he goes, yo, you heard what he just said? You're going to die in this moment. And he says to Zayd bin Haritha, he goes, I promise you, if he is a prophet of God, you're not coming back. And what does Zayd say? Zayd says, Ashhadu annahu nabiyun sadiq. As for what you say, I don't know, but I know this man is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all I know. That's all I know. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to send them off. It was a Thursday night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers everyone. It's a Thursday night. And the armies typically leave in the morning. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send the armies at night just to go outside of the city so they could start off. Yani, bisurah, you go out and in the morning they would start the whole journey. So everyone's saying goodbye to everyone, right? Everyone's going for battle. You know, you're hugging wifey, hug your kids. Everyone's leaving. So everyone's meeting each other. And they see Abdullah bin Rawaha. By the way, these are the only three names I need you to focus on for tonight. Abdullah bin Rawaha, the poet, the one that would say, Ta'al, let's sit down and talk about Allah for a little bit, right? He's sitting on the ground and he's crying. He's weeping. He's crying. And now it's a moment where a lot of people may be crying because I'm leaving my family, I'm leaving my children, I'm leaving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm leaving so much behind. So he's sitting there crying. And he says, everyone looks at him and they say, Yabana Rawaha, ma yubakika, Yabana Rawaha. Oh, Abdullah, why are you crying? Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. This shows us what our the companions of the Prophet taught us, that regardless of what's in front of you, you should always be focused on the akhirah, ya. Like, it doesn't matter the job that's coming, the marriage you're trying to get, all of those things in the front, don't focus on that. Focus on what you're really here for. Focus on the akhirah. So what happens? They say, why are you crying? He goes, wallahi ma bihubbid dunya. He goes, first of all, I'm not crying because I love the dunya. Ma bihubbid dunya. I'm not crying because I love the dunya. Wala sababata bikum. And I'm not going to miss y'all. And I'm not going to miss y'all. Wala sababata bikum. And I'm not going to miss y'all. Walakinni sami'tu Rasulullah. But I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite a verse of Quran. You know why this hit me? It's like, yo, y'all, if we're about to go to battle, what's going through your head? Everything of the dunya. My kids, how's Qasim going to be? Yo, who's going to take care of? Someone going to look out Amadia, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? How's my wife going to be? You know, like, subhanAllah. But he's thinking, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite a verse. What's the verse? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ Surah Maryam, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَرَى رَبِّكَ حَتَمًا مَقَضِيًّا. This man is akhirah focused. He's like, there's a verse that the Prophet said, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every single human being must go over the bridge over hellfire. كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتَمًا مَقْضِيًّا. This is a binding promise on God. Abdullah bin Rawaha is about to go to battle, but his focus is akhirah. His focus is, man, how am I going to pass that bridge? Am I going to make it over? And that's what he says. He says, فَلَسْتُ أَدْرِي كَيْفَ لِي بِصَدْرِي بَعْدَ الْوُرُودِ. He goes, I don't know how I'm going to make it over that bridge. And I want to share a hadith that you've heard me say before, but it's a hadith that I try to live by. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man ja'ala humumahu hamman wahidan hamma akhiratihi kafahu Allahu humumahu kullah." Oh, kama qal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever takes all the worries of this world and makes them one worry, how? Make it the worry of the akhirah. Make everything small compared to my worry of my akhirah, my hereafter. How will I be on the day of judgment?" Then the hadith says, Allah will take care of every other worry. Every other worry. And this sahabi is living this. So that's what his focus is on right now. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Rawaha, he's sitting there. And he's a poet. So this whole, he's always just saying like lines of poetry. Because his heart is speaking in this deep moment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gathers the army. And he gives them some some parting advice. And he says, and listen to this, this is so heavy, especially nowadays. Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ says to these Muslims who are going out for war to stand up for justice. Listen to what he says to them. He says, Usikum bi taqwallah. He says, the first thing, always stay conscious of God the whole time. Don't let any anger overcome you. Be conscious of God the whole time, number one. And then he says, وَبِمَنْ مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ خَيْرًا. Be good to all your brothers and sisters, all your brothers in this battlefield, be good to them, number two. And then he says, اُغْزُوا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Go out in the name of Allah and fight hard, fight hard. You will find some people worshiping in their places of worship. Do not bother them. Do not bother them. When people are praying in Masjid al-Aqsa, do not bother them. When people are just engaged in ibadah, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, don't touch them. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, you'll see women as you go. Don't touch them, let alone imprison them and do whatever. Don't touch them. Then Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا إِمْرَةً وَلَا صَغِيرًا. They'll be children. They'll be children. Don't touch a child. They'll be elderly. Do not touch an elderly person. And look at the Prophet. He goes, وَلَا تَقْتَعَنَّ شَجَرَةً. Don't cut a tree down. Don't cut a tree down. Meaning he's sending people for battle, but these people are people that are God-conscious people. And they know that they're going to stand in front of Allah one day. That they don't have ultimate power. There's a power they're going to stand in front of. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this one hit me. He said, وَلَا تَحْدِمُوا بَيْتًا. And don't tear down people's homes. Don't tear down people's homes. I was reading this and I'm like, did y'all just choose to do exactly opposite of him? Like, did y'all choose to like just do exactly what Shaytan would want you to do? Because this is what our Nabi taught us. And if this is what our Prophet Muhammad taught us, and these are in our books, this is what he taught us. What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing to our people? May Allah free the people of Philistine. May Allah free the people of Philistine. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a Thursday night, he tells everyone to leave. So they start to leave. And as they start to leave, Abdullah bin Rawaha, I told you he was really in his feels in this moment. He was really like feeling like, I don't know, I feel like this is the end for me. So Abdullah bin Rawaha, what does he do? He says to himself, I'm going to stay back and pray Jummah. He says, I'm going to stay back. It's Friday night. I'm going to stay back and pray Jummah. Because Abdullah bin Rawaha had a very fast horse. They say he had the fastest horse in Medina. And the whole army is 3,000 people. They're going to move really slow. So in his mind, I can get two for the price of one. What I'll do is the army's going to leave, but I'm going to stay back and I'm going to pray Jummah tomorrow. And I get one more day with my Habib. I get to listen to one more beautiful khutbah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna alhamdulillah. Can you imagine that khutbah? I get to listen to one more qira'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I get to hear one more assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum. One more chance I get to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not turning that up. So Abdullah bin Rawaha, what does he do? He stays back. The next morning, the Jummah time comes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leads the prayer. Falama in sarafa, when he turned from the salah, he saw Abdullah. And he looked at him, he said, ma mana'aka an taghdua ma ashabik. He's like, why aren't you with the army? And he said, aratu an usalli ma'aka al-jum'ah. He said, ya Rasulullah, I really wanted to pray with you. I really wanted to pray with you. You know, I was talking to a friend about this. He's not a sheikh, but he's a sheikh. You know what I mean? MashaAllah. One thing that makes you love the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even when you showed him so much love, he still kept you in check. You know, like, you would expect, what would we expect the Prophet to say after that? Oh, mashallah, I love you too, bro. Like, oh, for me, bro, you stayed back. No, that's not what the Prophet did. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَغَدْوَةٌ أَوْرَوْحَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. He's like, one morning in the path of Allah is better than this entire world. He said, and he also said, he said, they have gone so far ahead of you, because he said, I could catch up. He said, I got a fast horse, I could catch up. The Prophet said, no, you don't get it. They went so far ahead of you, you could spend the whole time of your dunya, you'd never catch up to them. Because of what they were doing, they were in the path of God. And this brings an important point. See, there's There's personal spirituality, but then there's serving the community. And a lot of us get it twisted. We go to extremes on this. And the extremes is, on one extreme, we have the sacrificing service for the community for your own worship. The community needs you. You got to come out. You got to help out. You got to do this. And you're like, yeah, you know, I got to do my dhikr. I got to do my Quran. Yeah, I'm doing i'tikaf right now. I'm sorry. Right? The community needs you. And nah, I got personal dhikr. And that's what he was doing in this moment. Because there was a communal need. This is the path of Allah. This is helping the believers. You're supposed to be defending the believers right now. And you're trying to pray Jummah. Nah, right now you have a communal need. And think about the qualities that the Prophet had before Nubuwwah and after. إِنَّكَ لَتَسِرُ الرَّحَمُ. You bring people together. You help in the hardship. You lift up the burden of people. All of these are the social aspects of serving and helping. And in this moment, Abdullah bin Rawaha is giving preference to his personal spirituality over the what? Communal need at the moment. And the Prophet ﷺ is like, no, not, that's not. The other extreme is when we have only service, only activism, but we ain't praying Fajr, yo. No Quran, no Fajr, but I'm doing all the service. La, what do we want? We want that middle path, that Muhammadan path, which is right in the middle, which is I'm going to be there whenever the community needs me to roll up my sleeves, but I'm also going to have my ibadah, my worship, because that's what keeps my battery charged. That's what keeps me moving, that commitment to public service. So, and subhanAllah, this is beautiful because we also see he's following what he feels like, not what he's supposed to do. Radiallahu an. That's why the scholars, they say, don't worship lutuf, worship al-latif. Like lutuf means, latif is Allah, the gentle one. Don't worship lutuf, gentle. Don't worship like ease and comfort. Worship the creator of that. Like do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. And that's a beautiful moment in this. And the scholars also say, you know what this highlights? There's a haq, a right of every moment. There's a haq or a right of time. If your mother, like, I'll give you an example. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, like, may that one be lost who has their two parents in old age but doesn't get Jannah through them. Like, if you have your parents in old age, there's that time has a necessity from you. There was a man, he wanted to go for jihad. The Prophet said, is your mom alive? He's like, yeah. He's like, you got to stay home, bro. Like, I can't go for jihad. No, that is your jihad. That is your jihad right now. Your fight is to stay with your mother, help her, serve her, take the burden off her. That's your fight right now. So every moment has a haq. The problem is he was short-sighted. His love for the Prophet made him miss that. So that's what happened. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I wanted to pray one more Jummah with you. And who in this room could blame him? If you're on the precipice of this being your last Jummah with the Prophet, which of us wouldn't be like, yo, I'm about to pull up the Valley Ranch. You know what I mean? Like, I get that Qalam Jummah in, yo, they be hitting. Right? You're like, I got to get that Medina Jummah in, subhanAllah. And that's what he did. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these 3,000 soldiers leave. They're on their way. And it gets really, I got a tissue, yo. Yeah, him on the napkins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they leave. The Prophet bids them farewell. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bids them farewell. And when the Prophet bids them farewell, they start to travel. They're going about 630 miles, and they're going to end up in a place called Mu'tah. The name of this battle is the Battle of Mu'tah. And they get about halfway there, and news reaches them that Shurahbil has 50,000 soldiers. And Hiraqal, you know the guy that said he believed in the Prophet? He sent 100,000 soldiers too. So the Muslims find out that there's 3,000 of us, and there's 150,000. According to the lowest estimates, 150,000 enemies going to be against us. So they stop. All the Muslims stop. And they gather to do mashwara. Like, yo, what are we going to do? And they all get together. Yanduruna, yatashawaruna. Some of them were like, hey, let's write a letter to the Prophet and just tell him what's going on. Like, we don't know if he knew how big this army was, but let's just tell him what's going on. And everyone's like, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. And they said, maybe he'll send some reinforcements. Maybe he'll tell us something else to do. Abdullah bin Rawaha. Remember, I only told you a few names we need to focus on. Abdullah bin Rawaha is the whole time. He's like, can I speak? And they're like, yeah, Bismillah, go ahead. And he says these words. He goes, Ya Qawmi. He said, oh, people. Wallahi inna lati takrahuna lallati kharajtum tatlabuna ash-shahada. He's like, brothers, the very thing that you guys are disliking is what we left seeking, shahada. He goes, وَمَا نُقَاتِلُ النَّاسِ بِعَدَدٍ. Listen, brothers and sisters, now more than ever. He said, we don't fight based on numbers. وَلَا قُوَّةٍ. We don't fight based on strength. وَلَا كَثْرَةٍ. We don't fight based on having more. مَا نُقَاتِلُ إِلَّا بِهَذَا الدِّينِ. We fight with this deen, this religion of ours is what gives us strength. Doesn't matter how many of us it is. We never looked at numbers. We never looked at numbers. That never mattered for us. We are David and Goliath, bro. That's us. So he's telling them, he says, we fought by this deen that Allah has blessed us with. He goes, فَانْتَلِقُوا. Let's go, y'all. He said, let's go. He goes, there's only one of two things that can happen. There's only two possible good outcomes. Only two. I'm getting too hyped up, sorry. He's like, there's only two possible outcomes of this. He said, إِلَّا إِهْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. Either we win or we get shahada. Either we win or we're martyred. But either way, that's what we wanted. That's who we are. Everyone right away was like, yo, facts. Facts, that's it. Yes, why? What were we thinking? Let's go. Let's go forward. Abu Huraira, they arrived. They arrived at Mu'tah. And the army is in front, 150,000. I mean, we can never imagine what that looks like. Abu Huraira had just joined the Muslims. Abu Huraira is the one that proves it doesn't matter how long you've been in it, it matters how dedicated you are. Abu Huraira narrates the most hadith. The most hadith narrated are by Abu Huraira. But Abu Huraira only became Muslim and came to Medina in the 7th year. This is the 8th year. He's only been with us for a year. So Abu Huraira is standing in the lines, right? And he sees this massive army. And Abu Huraira, as he's looking at this massive army, his bariq al-basr, as it says, like his eyes are like jaw dropped. He's not fathoming what he's looking at. And the narration is beautiful. He's looking at this massive army in front of him. And as he's looking at the army, there's a man next to him by the name of Thabit bin Akram. He's an OG. He's been Muslim for years. He's next to Abu Huraira, who's only been Muslim for a year. But Abu Huraira is the one that teaches us. It doesn't matter how long you've been Muslim. It matters how dedicated you are. He narrates the most hadith, and he was only with the Prophet for 3 years. Doesn't matter how long. It matters your focus. It matters how much you put into it. So he's standing next to Thabit. Thabit's been Muslim since a long time. So Thabit looks over at Abu Huraira, and he can see, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى جَمُوعًا كَثِيرًا. He goes, man, looks like you're looking at a big army, bro. That's what he says. He looks at Abu Huraira. He goes, it looks like you're looking at a big army, man. Abu Huraira goes, yes, naam, yup. Qala, he says, شَهِدْنَا بَدْر. He's like, man, you weren't at Badr, bro. You weren't at Badr. You weren't at Badr. He says, let me tell you something, little brother. He goes, Inna lam nunsur bil kathra. We never won by numbers, bro. We never won by numbers. Pick your chin up, bro. We got this. You know what that tells me? All of us need experienced people around. You need that auntie, you need that uncle, you need that older brother who's been around for a long time that can help you when you see something you've never seen before. That can give you that guidance, like, yo, chill, we're good right here. So he goes, you didn't see Badr. We were at Badr, we were at Uhud, we were at this time. We never won by numbers, y'all. We always won by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here's where the story gets amazing. Back in Medina, this is 600 miles away. Back in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ tells Bilal, call everyone to the masjid. While this is happening, back in Medina, call everyone to the masjid. So Bilal runs around and he goes, As-salatu jami'a, as-salatu jami'a. That's how they would gather everyone to the masjid. All of Medina floods. The Prophet's calling everyone. There's a public announcement. What's going on? And in that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lifted the veils of space. I'm watching right now what's happening in the battle of Muta. And so he starts to dictate, Sadaqa Rasulullah, Sadaqa Rasulullah. Rasulullah SAW begins to dictate play by play. You know, back in the old days, they used to turn the radio on and listen to the baseball game. You know, and you could picture it. The Sahaba are just sitting in front, and the Prophet SAW is on the minbar. And he begins, the Prophet SAW, he goes, the armies are coming together. They're meeting each other right now. And he says, Zayd has the flag. And everyone can see that he pauses and tears start to well up in his eyes. And he says, Zayd is fighting. Zayd just got killed. And the whole masjid is just that grimace, like, ugh. Because everyone knows him. Everyone remembers it. That's our guy. That's Zayd. And so the whole masjid is kind of like, what? Like, he's like, Zayd just got killed. And the Prophet is dictating as it happens. He says, they're fighting more. They're fighting. Ja'far came. He picked up the sword. He picked up the flag. He's holding the flag right now. They're fighting. They're fighting. And Ja'far jumped off his flag, jumped off his horse. And he jumped off the horse and he's fighting, but he's holding the flag because you can't let the flag fall. The flag has to stay up. And so as he's holding it with his right hand, the Prophet is telling them that they cut his right hand at the elbow. And the flag is about to fall, but this man is built different. He grabs it with his left hand and he holds it. I'm not letting Islam down on my shift. It's not happening. And then they cut his left arm. And then the narration says, but he grabs it with his, like this. And the Prophet is watching this, telling them live as it's happening, 600 miles away. You know, at the end of this battle, they sent a messenger to go and inform the Muslims of what happened. When the messenger arrived in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ said to the messenger, either I can tell you what happened or you could tell me what happened. What would you prefer? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, you tell me so I can increase in my faith. He said, let me tell you exactly what happened. And he said, Sadaqa, that's exactly what I was here to tell you. That's exactly what I was here to tell you. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu is holding it. I'm not letting Islam down during my shift. This ain't happening. And then they just surround him and they attack him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his cousin, his brother, his beloved cousin, he says, Ja'far has been killed, and he's on the minbar and he's crying and he's telling everyone, Ja'far just was killed. And the Prophet pauses. He pauses, and the Sahaba are like, well, what happened to Abdullah? Because Abdullah's supposed to be there. Well, back in the battlefield, Abdullah, he was fighting and he heard his name called. You got to come forward now. You got to assume leadership. And right when he was about to go, this is amazing. Right when he was about to go, he felt his nafs hesitate. Like his ruh was ready to go, but his natural bodily instincts stopped him. And so it's amazing. In this moment, he says, Aqsamtu ya nafsu la tanzalanna. He's saying poetry to his own ruh, to his own nafs. He says, Wallahi nafs, you're about to go or I'm gonna make you go. Wallahi nafs, he's speaking to his own soul, his own self. Not now. He says, In ajlab an-nas wa shadurrinna. Everyone's in the thick of it and the screams of war are coming. Mali araka takrahin al-jannah. He's speaking to his own self. He's like, why do I see you? To himself, why do I see you not wanting Jannah? Laqad tala qad kunti mutma'inna. You wanted this for so long, now go get it, nafs. And then he says, ya nafsi, go. Go fight. Isn't there an example in your two companions, Zayd and Ja'far? So he's about to go. And now he's ready to go. He has a cousin that's in the battle too. His cousin sees him and he stops him. And he says, cousin, here, Take this piece of meat you haven't eaten all day. Just eat some so you can go and fight. So he grabs the piece of meat and he bites into it. And the moment he bites, he hears a believer screaming in the battlefield. And in that moment, he says, am I eating and Jannah is that close? Am I eating food and Jannah is right there? He throws the food down and he jumps into the battlefield. He's hugging the flag. And Abdullah bin Rawaha, fighting his soul, fighting his nafs, is shaheed. The Prophet ﷺ back in Medina is narrating the entire thing to the majlis. He says, Abdullah bin Rawaha stopped. He hesitated. But no, now he's moving forward. And now he's shaheed. The Prophet is weeping. The Prophet is weeping. Thabit bin Arqam, the same guy, the OG that looked at Abu Huraira and said, don't worry, he picks up the flag because he's old school. He says, we have to choose somebody. They say, you. He goes, not me. Khalid. Khalid bin Walid was here the whole time. But he was a new Muslim. He's the mastermind of strategy. He's the mastermind of war. But now I'm a regular soldier. I'm no one. I'm a new Muslim. How do we do tayammum, y'all? Show me how to do wudu again, y'all. He's a new Muslim. They say, Khalid. Khalid goes, I got it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is back in Medina. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so profound. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is back in Medina. And he says, أَخَذَ اللِّوَى Khalid. Khalid has the flag. They gave it to him. And then the Prophet on the member, he raises his hands. And just imagine you're sitting there in front of him. He's weeping because he just lost Zayd, his almost son. He just lost Jafar. Abdullah bin Rawaha, who stayed the extra Jummah to be with him, has just died. Now Khalid bin Walid has the flag. He's watching it in real time, telling it to the believers. And in that moment, he raises his hand. Imagine him on the member. He raises his hand. He says, Allahumma huwa saif min suyufika fansurhu. He says, oh Allah, he's a sword from your swords. Help him. Everyone's like, ah, oh, Ameen, Ya Rab. Ameen, help Khalid, Ya Allah. From that day, Khalid bin Walid was called Saifullah, the sword of God. The sword of God. Last week I told you, Khalid bin Walid died on his deathbed, not in a battlefield. And he said that, I tried my best to die in the battlefield, but Allah wrote for me to die on a bed. And the scholars said, what do you expect? The sword of God can't be broken. It has to be put back in its sheath. It can't be broken. Once the Prophet gave him that name, he couldn't die on a battlefield. He just had to die, go to rest, and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala an is a master strategic person. He immediately calls everyone, retreat, retreat, retreat. By the way, in this whole battle, we only lost 14 people. Yeah, three of them were their leaders. We only lost 14, 15 people in the whole battle. So what happens? Khalid bin Walid, he says, everyone retreat. He retreats. They think that they're fleeing. He brings in the other sides of the battle from the side, and they break through the forces until they split them up. The next morning, so for that night, the battle ends. The next morning, Khalid says, you know what? I want the Arab armies used to have four positions. They used to have the front, the back, the Maymana, and the Maysara. These were the four, and the Qalb was in the middle. They had a strategy of this four style with one in the middle. So what he said is, he said, I want everyone on the right side to go to the left side, everyone on the left to the thing, and everyone on the back to the front. When they came out to battle, the Byzantium said, I think reinforcements have come. And they started to retreat. They started to retreat. They started to retreat. They started to retreat. And so Khalid bin Walid said, they retreat and we retreat into, let's go. Like, we're not going to chase 150,000 heads. We're going to retreat too. And so the scholars differ of whether we call it a victory or not, but it was clearly a victory. The Muslims make their way back, and this is really beautiful. They make their way back. They're on their way back, and all of the families, the wives, the children, the grandchildren, all of the people come out to welcome the soldiers. And the Prophet ﷺ knew that a number of people had been killed. He saw the battle and he told them about it in real time. Everyone saw this miracle of the Prophet ﷺ right before their face. And so there were little children that were coming out to meet their fathers, but their fathers had died. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said to the community, he said, "Khudu as-sibyan, pick up the kids, y'all. Pick up the kids, hold them, bring them close. Yani, we are a community, we help each other out. Those are our children now. Those are our children." He said, "Khudu as-sibyan." And then he said, "Give me Ja'far's son, Abdullah. Ja'far's son, Abdullah, bring him, give him to me." So he sat him on his horse with him. And Ja'far's son is sitting on the horse with him. And then Hassan, his grandson, comes. He says, "Give me Hassan too." So Hassan is sitting behind him and Ja'far is sitting in front. This is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's leaning on the son and he says to him, "I see your father flying in Jannah with like an angel right now. Don't worry, your son, your father's in Jannah flying like an angel right now. Flying like an angel right now." They welcome everyone back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is heartbroken by the death of Ja'far. He only had a little time with him. And that's what I want us to understand, that people going on to Akhirah just makes Jannah more real, y'all. People going on just makes, Brother Hadi, you know, subhanAllah, it just makes it more real. I told you the story about the one guy that said Jannah just got personal. There was a brother, I said it before, I'll share it again. There was a brother, you know, he's from the streets, mashallah. He converted. And when Mufti Abdurrahim passed away, he was standing at the grave. And he's at the grave and he looks at it and he goes, "Jannah just got personal, man. Like, I have someone there now. I got someone there." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's bringing the children close. He was hurt deeply. And he mourned a lot at the loss of Zayd bin Haritha, who was like his son, who he's known from before Ta'if. He's the one who believed him in the beginning. And now he'd passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to Ja'far's house because his wife doesn't know yet. Ja'far's wife doesn't know. Asma bint Unais was her name. She was a wise woman, amazing woman. So he goes into the house and he sits down. She had got the children all dressed up because dad's coming. The kids were all, you know, oil, you know, your mom, Vaseline all over your face, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Got them all dressed up. And she cooked food, she's dressed up, everyone's ready because daddy's gonna come. So he comes in the home and he sits down, he says, "Can you bring the boys to me?" And she brings the boys and he just puts his head on their heads. And she says, "What happened?" And he doesn't hold, he says, "He's been killed." And she shrieked, shrieked. She just shrieked. "Ah, lost my beloved." Prophet held the children. Then he went outside and he told the family, he told the neighbors, he said, "Make sure y'all cook food for them. Take care of the family right now because they're busy." And he taught us, like, someone passes away in a family, send food, take care, because people forget to eat. You know how it is, you lose a loved one, you don't even want to eat. The Prophet said, "Cook food for them, take care of them, look after them." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this battle, in this moment, he lost someone that was very close to him. And this was a very hard moment. But in this moment, we see one of the most beautiful miracles. And we see just this deep connection that the Sahaba had with him. And we learn a lesson that speaks, it's a timeless lesson, but in the time we live in right now, over and over again, we were reminded that we don't care about numbers, y'all. Some of us have always grown up where Muslims seemed weak and we always had less numbers. These Sahaba, just think of that uncle saying to Abu Huraira, "Habibi, yo, this is how it's always been for us. This is nothing new what you're seeing. This is how it's always been, but the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come for sure. The help of Allah will come for sure, inshallah." So this is the battle of Muta. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mourned over the martyrs for many, many days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then brought those children under his own wing and took care of those children. And he taught the Sahaba. He said, "Look after these children. Look after these children." And in that moment, Khalid bin Walid is stamped. Khalid bin Walid has stood up to the plate and shown the Muslims that he's going to start defending and standing up for Islam the same strength that he was fighting against. And so this is the Battle of Mu'tah. It has many lessons in it for us, but we see the humanity of the Prophet ﷺ. I want you to think of that moment where he has Ja'far on the front of his horse and he's holding this boy, but then he tells all of the other Sahaba, pick up all the young boys, pick them up, hold them, because they're hurting right now. They're hurting right now. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to emulate his sunnah. May Allah give us love for these great companions that were blessed with his presence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have a heart that just has a deep, deep love for the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah. So this was the Battle of Mu'tah, inshallah. And in our next session, we'll move into some of the more final years in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May he put barakah in these gatherings, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Okay, I know.